It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we're in the middle of September. You better still have your grill out on your deck because it is not even close to winter yet. And if you even put them away for winter, you might lose your man card. So it is still grilling season. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. Conrad, thanks so much for hosting us once again in your fine Jethro Studios as we go out to the Michigan Talk Network and stations around. And, of course, the podcast, which you can pick up on thegrillinguys.com. And if you're not doing the podcast, I'm saying you're missing half the shows because Saturdays are too busy for a lot of us, and it's just awful nice to capture it and have it in your phone and take it with you. So when you're on a road trip, you can listen to me and Jop.
Speaking of which, I was with the Baritone Beer this week. Chaz Thompson, you all have heard him sit in for me or Bob when we're out. He told me, and Chaz is our webmaster, and he publishes our podcast. He said he got jacked up on the email by one of our listeners, all in a good way, that is in Australia, and that Chaz was a few hours late publishing the podcast a couple weeks ago, and the guy shot him a note back and said, hey, man, where's the podcast?
No, I mean, he said, hey, mate.
Yeah, I don't know what he said, but the guy, I guess the guy's from Michigan, and he moved to Australia with his parents or something. There was a story behind it. Yeah, but
well,
anyway, but if you're listening,
story.
but if you're listening in Australia, shout out to you, mate. We'll get you the show as soon as we can each and every week, but we appreciate you listening.
You don't know his name, do you?
I don't.
Okay, to our Yank mate down under, let me tell you, I did a little time up in Ipswich there by Brisbane and the Gold Coast, so take care of those big reds and don't hang on to too many koalas.
All right, there you go. And eat good barbecue if they have it there.
They do not.
Oh, they do not? Maybe they're bringing it. Maybe
you know, they were all taught to cook by the English.
Okay, lots of taters.
Screwed.
Yeah.
Hey, it's fall cleanup time, and this fall seems to be a big cleanup job. We've had some storms.
Right.
And I got a new gig, believe it or not. I actually have another new job.
You know, I'm thinking the listeners probably, unless they've got a really dusty dash, they don't have enough room to write
this
all
one,
these down.
This one wasn't just a job because I wanted to get a job like the Home Depot thing, which was tons of fun. This one is a contractor at Home Depot who is mega busy, and I just struck up a friendship with, and it's called Reyes. And, I mean, we have leads coming in for so much work, but here's the thing about the storms. We're getting Angie's List is sending us customers that want storm cleanup.
Okay.
So we're going to go buy a dump trailer just to facilitate that. And there's a lot of cleanup to be done out there.
Let me tell you about some cleanup that I did.
Dog poop?
No, it wasn't. It was my pellet grill. And if you, I've got a Louisiana pellet grill, it's called, and Bob used to rep these. Most of my equipment came from Bob at one point or another, but I still have this. And it has a heat deflecting shield over top of the burner, right, to keep all the gunk off the burner. Well, guess what? It catches gunk, right? And
that's why you're supposed to wrap that in foil.
Well, it wasn't, right? I use it a lot.
Time out. That's good. I'm glad to hear you say that because a lot of people that have a grill like yours don't know this one little fact either, and that's you can take that deflector plate, you can put aluminum foil over it, which you love, and then about once a month or every 2 or 3 months, you just pull that aluminum foil off, wad it up, recycle it, put a clean one down, and your cleanup is so much easier.
Right, but for those of us that don't do that, there was a half an inch of gunk on the deflector plate. And so what I did, I got done with a cook, and I'm out in the driveway, right? I don't do this in the garage. I have been known to do my smoking under the eave of the garage in inclement weather, but this was good weather. I cranked that thing all the way up to high, and it caught fire because of the greasy stuff. But that was okay because I wanted it to burn off, and I let it burn for maybe 15 minutes, and then I shut it down and let the fire die away. And that gunky stuff
flaked off.
All loosened up.
Yep.
And so I just picked it out of there and whacked it on the edge of the garbage can when it cooled, and all of it fell off, and it was squeaky clean. And I was like, that worked.
So then spray it with Pam, and then wrap your aluminum foil on it, and now the next time it'll be so much easier.
Right. And but there was also what I want to say about cleanup is there was maybe like a half or three quarters of an inch of ash in the belly.
Down in the belly.
Of that I, you know, after it was cooled, certainly, I just took the shop vac, sucked it out of there, and it looks like a new grill. I mean,
so there was no grease in the belly?
No.
So your grease was draining properly?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grills have a sewer system in them that allows the waste to run off into the
right.
cesspit.
Anything that's liquid, and it goes into a catch can, and then you just empty the can when it gets full. But yep. I just got one of those big number 5 soup cans under there.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, it'll hold. So, but anyway, at the end of the day, I burned it off. And but make sure, be careful, because when it got that hot, you open the lid, it gulps air, and you got big flames. I knew it was coming. Right. So I knew what I was doing. But at the end of the day, don't stand in front of it and open it up because you could get burned. I went off to the end and grabbed it. Knew when I opened it up, it'd flare up. So just word to the wise. But you need to keep your stuff clean because it cooks a lot better, more efficiently. And your flavors are better when you're not cooking on a dirty grill.
Yeah. And if you're filming it, it looks a lot better.
Right. Yeah. Right. Although the fire would have been cool on film, but it was big. But all is good. It's cleaned up. So that's my cleanup story for the last week, but it's good. Pork butts are greasy when you cook pork butts.
Oh, brother, yeah. I just picked up another job for next weekend, and I got a class this afternoon I'm doing. And
a class for what?
Barbecue class, private party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many? What are you teaching, and how many people?
I think about 10 guys.
Okay.
8 guys.
All right.
I just gave them a flat rate. It's on a very nice back deck in a very nice neighborhood, and money is no object.
So
I triple charged them. Just kidding.
I'm sure they're listening and they appreciate that. But so what are you going to teach them?
Barbecue 101.
Okay.
Because we all need that.
All right.
We all grow up in different ways, learning how to cook, learning not how to cook, good habits, bad habits. So sometimes you got to just hit the reset button and start from ground zero and say, okay, here's the basics. Time and temperature.
Okay.
And then do season profiles, protein, you know, just go right down the book. And that leads to, dozens and dozens of questions.
Oh, yeah.
That seem like the answer would be obvious to you and I and a lot of people, but it's not.
Right.
It's not because maybe our mom taught us how to do meat. Maybe our dad taught us how to do venison. Maybe our grandpa taught us how to do ribs or whatever. Maybe they just knew the wrong way.
Right.
So what they taught you was just a little off and you weren't happy with your product.
Sure.
So, you know, these classes are beneficial, and I'm not saying you have to be wealthy to do them. We'll do them for anybody, but it just so happens that this is one that was set up a few different times, and it's just guys who find out who you are and they go, oh my God, we love your show and we want to get our game going better, but you don't tell us enough on Saturdays.
Right. Well,
because we don't. We just scratch the surface.
Yeah, we do. We do, actually. But the key that I just heard in all of that is time and temperature. If you could study anything, those are the two things. You need some equipment. You need a timer, okay, whether it's a watch or whatever, your phone, that works good. But the temperature is the real key. And the temperature is knowing what temperature to cook things to. And generally pulling those off a few degrees early.
Well, there are two variables that affect each other.
Right.
If your temperature is lower, you need more time.
Right.
If your temperature is higher, you gotta speed it up.
That's right.
And it depends on the kind of cook you're going to do, the protein or food you're preparing.
Right.
And the outcome you're looking for. If, you know, you're very well known for doing shrimp excellently.
Right.
Why is that? Because you don't overcook them.
Right. Yep.
Because you know shrimp.
Right.
And why is that? Job loves him some shrimp.
I do. And guess what? When I first started out, I overcooked them, and they were rubbery, and they weren't good, and you learn. But the other piece of that is everybody's equipment's a little different, so you need to get comfortable. You know, you got a driver in your golf bag.
Yeah.
You know how to hit that.
You're not playing the whole course with your putter.
That's right.
Exactly. In the next segment, we're going to talk to a fellow named Ken Carey, who I met, and we've actually rubbed elbows in the past. Never met each other, but we have mutual friends and, of course, mutual interest, which is barbecue.
All right. Coming up next, it's Ken Carey. We'll talk to you. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
When it's time for bass fishing, don't do it bass-ackwards. Go to the bass fishing experts at Alan Bob Sports, now inside Millbrook Tack Building at 510 68th Street Southwest, just off 131. Tell them you want the Grillin' Guys discount and you'll save $5 off your $25 purchase with some exclusions. Alan Bob Sports, online at alanbobs.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grillin' Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Yeah, we take a little dive into Bob's barbecue class. We may cover that a little bit later in the show, because I think there's a lot going on there, and if people knew really what those the content of those, maybe in more detail, you'd be interested in participating in one. Because as much as I respect Bob's grilling prowess, it is actually a very good class, and I've sat through it, and I think you could gain something from it. But right now, we got one of your buddies on the line, Bob.
Hey, that's right. This is a fellow that our paths have crossed over the years, and we never really knew each other. But his name is Ken Carey, and he's a fabricator. Jop, you fabricate stories. He fabricates grills.
Well, maybe, you know what? And there's some commonality there, because I fabricate my stories when I'm at the grill.
Ken Carey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so I met Ken by selling something on Facebook Marketplace, and we have some commonalities, but one of them is that he is very passionate about building smokers, and he's the GM Tool and Die guy. Joppa, you know, your dad retired GM.
Right.
You know those GM Tool and Die guys can build anything.
Yes, they can. Yes, they
Tell us what you did there, Ken.
Well, I was a tool and die welder, and basically did everything for anybody, whether it was pipe fitters, electricians. We kind of broke the rules and went outside the guidelines. And
no.
The more friends you make at General Motors, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all experienced friendships from places like that, so that's cool.
Sure.
So what did you do?
Oh, I basically was a tool and die welder. I basically kept the place up and running. When I worked out on the production floor, our job was to be available at any time to keep the lines running, keep it up.
Yeah, but what
keep
I'm really
everything going.
What I'm really prying for is, what did that lead you into?
Well, you know, my son graduated, and we were throwing a graduation party, and I thought, you know, I might as well rent a grill and do a hog or something like that. And the more I looked at it, I thought, you know, I can start building grills. And I my first grill I built for that graduation party, and ended up selling that to Burdick's in Kalamazoo. And, you know, those are the guys that run the Hog Fest down there. And from there, I just started evolving and spending more money than I ever should have. And, you know, I only had a stall and a half garage, and everything I've built, if you go to grillology.com or chef1.com, everything was built in a small shop. And I've never parked in my garage. And
I think I heard your wife complaining about that.
I should have built a shop years ago, but I didn't. But
I think I heard your wife.
That's how it evolved.
I think I heard your wife motivating you to get rid of some of that stuff yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've got monster barbecue grills you wouldn't believe and spent way too much money doing it.
So for the guy that's maybe got some skills, let's say half as good as yours, and wants to try something like this, what would be a reasonable project?
Well, you know, it depends on what he wants to do.
Smoker.
I mean, you know, when you're
smoker.
Working with tool and die guys, you know, the sky's the limit with these guys.
But let's say you're not a tool and die guy, but you might happen to have a little bit of metalworking experience and a buddy with a shop, and you can go over and fab something up. What kind of design would you recommend?
Well, okay, if you have a buddy with a shop, you're all set to go. Okay, that's key. Because, when you know, depending on what you want to work with, if you want to work with stainless, you know, you've got to have the equipment to do it. And if you have somebody with a shop, you're already halfway there. So it all depends if they want smokers, if they want to do grills. You know, if you go to my website, you'll see that, you know, I have grills that will handle anything from smoking to grilling with charcoal to actually using them as ovens with propane gas. So my grills will cover a wide variety. So you got to define what you want to do and how you want to do it. And you know, you grilling guys, man, I mean, you're experts in your own right. I mean, it's hard for me to compete with any of you guys. I can build, but you know, I'd just soon sit on the sideline and be a judge tasting the food, okay?
You might have a cold one in your hand if you were doing that, though, and that would violate all of our rules.
I don't know what rules he's talking about, but they're fine in my rule book.
The ones that make me fall asleep.
Right.
So what I'm trying to pull out of you, Ken, is a basic design that you would recommend somebody try, the easiest one you ever did that somebody could pull off. And is it on your website?
Yeah, basically all my grills are on my website, besides the one that I sold, the Verdix. But, you know, like I said, you got to go back to what you really want to do. And, you know, you start out small, and you, the thing is depending on the size of the grill or smoker that you want to design, you have to figure out how you're going to move it. So if it's going to be big, then you got to start by building the trailer. And everything that I've done has been built from the ground up. You design how it's going to be moved. Once you do that, you decide whether you need it on a trailer, whether it can be loaded in a truck or whatever else. So that's your first step.
So maybe somebody could find a dilapidated utility trailer, not these days, or
right.
An old snowmobile trailer that, you know, those things always end up falling apart or whatever. You could end up with some axles and a tongue and some brakes and stuff like that and then build up from there.
Well, that's what my first grill was. It was built on a Caravan jet ski trailer.
There you go.
And I decided that I need to step it up from there because it wouldn't handle what eventually my grill turned into.
Yeah, the weight is a big deal.
Exactly. So, but, you know, you built something on the trailer. Now you got to now things change on where you're going to be able to deliver the grill, where you're going to be able to put it. And so once it's on a trailer, it's on a trailer. You're not carrying it anywhere, so it limits where you can deliver the grill and what you can do when you get there.
So one consideration might be the width of the axle to get
Correct.
Through the gates properly, and I've experienced that many times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So give us those websites that you're running, and what is your ultimate goal?
Well, I started out in the mid-90s buying .com names, and a lot of them have to do with food preparation, grillology.com, grillologist, grgrills.com, grgrill.com, you name it, I own names dealing with food. I love every aspect of it, and it's like we've talked before.
So if our listeners wanted to look at some of your work, which one of those domains do we look at?
Any one of them, and you can start off with the easiest one to find would be grgrill.com.
All right.
And I own about 400 .com names, so I get 2,500 visits a day on my site. And so all my grills are displayed from tailgaters to full-size grills, and I've even got a show grill that I spent $20,000. You know, it's got multiple 42-inch television screens, 500-watt surround sound system. I mean, I went way over the top.
Well, Ken, we are out of time. See, I told you to go fast.
Oh yeah.
Listen, this is right. Ken Carey. Ken, we're gonna chat again, and I'm looking forward to helping you clean your garage out. Ken Carey, Cascade, Michigan. Thanks so much for joining us, sir.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks. Nice talking to you guys.
Okay.
All right. Interesting guy right here in West Michigan, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cascade. Very cool. Check him out at grgrills.com. Kind of a cool thing.
Yep.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to continue on cleaning up your grill. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. That was interesting talking to Ken Carey there, grgrills.com. He's a, I guess what I would call a custom grill fabricator. He's got everything from big smokers to grills to rotisseries.
And he just does it for fun. Right. He's not really trying to sell them. His wife wants him to sell some.
Well, and looking at his website, it's pretty well-made stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is not a hack. This is professional-looking stuff.
And I told you would know that because your dad was a good GM man who worked there for his whole career.
Right.
And was, you know, retired as a pretty smart, authoritative fellow. He knew plenty of Kens.
Right.
They worked for your dad.
Right. Yep.
Right. He worked at that 36th Street plant down in Wyoming, and it still breaks his heart to see an open field there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, NAFTA. Should have listened to Ross Perot.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, man. But anyway, we're going to talk about keep going on this cleaning and refurbing grills.
Refurbing. And what I was telling you on the break is the thought that went through my fat head was, you see all these Sleepy Hollows. I can't think of the other brand. Every time I... Brinkman, and they all have the same. It's a barrel with a little drop barrel next to it. You've all seen them at Tractor Supply, Costco, everywhere. I don't care who the label is. There's a factory in China that turns out thousands of them a week, and a bunch of that stuff ends up here on our shores. It hurts our domestic production, yada yada yada. Doesn't matter. That stuff is in the marketplace now. Likely you've seen it either on the side of the road for free or sitting in your father-in-law's backyard behind the garage because it's the look of shame. And there's still some life left in it. So I want to break down how we can take something ugly like that and turn it into, something pretty.
All right. Give it a rip.
So, basically let's talk about a smoker offset. And you're going to open up the lid. You've got two lids, generally a firebox and then a grill area. You're going to have some grates on there. So you want to pull those grates, and you want to try and scrape as much of the grease out of there as you can. And then you're going to go down into the belly, and you're going to want to get that ash out. And I would highly recommend scooping it into a can with get yourself a nice little ash shovel, because you're going to need one for your fireplace or fire pit or all sorts of other areas. If you're a freak like we are, you love burning stuff, right? So get a couple little shovels, and then clean that baby out. Get yourself some sort of water-soluble degreaser. Dawn works very well. There's a citric cleaner that works very well. And let's get as much of the grease out of there as we can, and let's take some steel wool to it, or perhaps a little hand buffer, hand grinder with some light, fine sandpaper, and let's get down to that bare metal. Then let's remove the hardware and start taking hinges off, latches, stuff like that. And pay attention, take some pictures as you go, and then grind the exterior down. Get all that rust off the outside. And if you don't have a hand grinder, good excuse to get one, because you got to have a hand grinder. They're just too handy. And then you just put the sanding head on it, and you just basically run it along the thing. You can do it with a little rotary sander as well, but it's a good excuse to get a hand grinder.
Sure, yeah.
And then get it down to bare metal. And then find yourself fire rated primer, and I'm going to say Krylon might have it, but you need a heat, a high heat primer, and then you want to get generally going to go black with a color, but you Krylon or there's brands that operate in fireplace shops and paint sections that are specifically hearth products. They're for wood stoves and grills.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of the name right now, but then paint it with that and get a couple coats of paint on that body because you're getting it down to clean metal. Let's see how long we can get this thing to last.
Right.
And then, of course, the other thing is once you do get it all painted up, let it cure for a couple days.
Right.
Don't throw fire to it right away.
Right. Yep. Let it dry because once that paint cures, it hardens, and then it's a lot more resistant to the heat.
Yep.
And, you know, the metal, part of the problem with metal smokers or metal grills at all, they expand. The metal expands and contracts a small amount as it heats up and cools down, and that moves paint, right? Paint's adhered to that, so that's why you need that primer on there because it really sticks, and then the paint on top of the primer is a great combination to hold that.
Well, now you want to start cleaning up your hardware, painting it, and getting it ready to reassemble. But then you want to season the inside. And I'm going to give you a little secret here for any smoker or grill. Anytime you're working around this product, you can get a spray can of spray-in baking release or PAM or any kind of spray oil like that. Get the cheap one from Gordon's. Works great. It's called a mold cake pan release or something. It's just oil. Very fine mist. And then spray that thing down inside really well with that before you do your first cook. Then you get your firebox loaded up, and in your firebox, you know, you can paint the inside or not. I might do some heat-treated paint, but I've mixed emotions on what's more effective with that. But the key is, once you get that thing put back together, get some oil in that and get a fire going and get her heated up nicely so that that metal expands, as Jop was saying, and it absorbs some of that oil because that's going to be the protective skin. It's not going to be a chemical. It's going to be oil. The chemicals are for the outside. Paint is a chemical. Use that on the outside and then season the inside. But here's the other cool thing now that you know this little trick. Let's say you've got an ugly black grill. And what happens to black grills? Well, they get dull, right? They look chalky.
Right.
They fade. You can take a can of that spray vegetable oil. You can spray the whole outside of that grill. Let's say maybe you washed it up, got some of the char and grease and gunk off it. You can spray the outside, especially before you have guests coming over, and then wipe it down with a cotton rag, and that thing shines like a new Cadillac, baby.
Yeah, man.
She just looked good.
Yep, and that's after you've painted it.
Well, that's even the grill that's on your deck now. It's just
okay.
Dull, like that char griller,
right.
Broilmaster you have.
Yep.
That's a good one to get oil on because
yep,
it's
an aluminum
body.
Yep.
It's painted, but that paint still gets chalky.
Sure it does. Yep. Heat and cool makes it.
Yeah,
makes
you put a little oil on that and wipe it down. And
right.
I learned that from a buddy who borrowed my trailer smoker once, and when he brought it back, it was all shiny. And I said, "What'd you do?" He goes, "I sprayed it with Pam."
Yeah.
It's a genius.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about refurbing a gas grill. When you said that Broilmaster, that's one that had a lifetime guarantee on the guts, so every 5-6 years, I just go back and I have to pay like postage to get the stuff to me. But the guts themselves are free, and maybe you got one of those.
There's
maybe
a lesson right there. Okay, it was $1,100 grill, as I recall.
Yeah,
and
20 years ago.
Yeah, but it's still only about 13 or 14 now. It has not gone up that much.
Right.
You could go down to Lowe's and pick up some China junk for $599. So now you got a $600 grill that is never going to work right.
Right.
Ever.
Yep.
So now you've had yours 10 years. You get free guts. You just got your 600. You broke even.
Right.
In 10, 12 years.
And I had a lot better product to work on.
Way better product. So
right.
Kudos to you. And you bought that before I even had a chance to lecture you.
Right. Yeah. someone else did, I'm sure. But that's how I learn things is through lecture. Right. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's just take care of your equipment is what this is all about, is that anything that's worth using is worth maintaining. And if it's too far, acknowledge it, go get a different one.
You have to set yourself up for that, too. You have to, you know, you heard him say, first, you got to know what and where you're going to go before you build it, because you're going to have to move it.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
Yep.
The narrow axle I was referring to. so many times I had to get into backyards and that gate was 6 foot.
Right.
That baby don't want to go.
Right. Yep.
So whether you're building one or buying one or just going to maybe cob one up out of an old log splitter trailer you got or whatever it is, you still have to consider those things. And I would tell you that if you're a grilling freak, and I know half of you at least are, you should give serious consideration to finding some of this old stuff for sale that doesn't look attractive to anybody. But I'll tell you, if the axles are any good at all and the frame is any good at all and there's some sort of body on there, you've got something to work with. And maybe you've got a buddy that can do a little brazing or welding. Maybe you can just screw into place some sheet metal in the bottom or some steel in the bottom that will cover up that rusty hole or whatever. But this is a worthy project, and you should have something in your garage this winter.
That's right. Cool. Well, now that you got it all cleaned up, refurbed, ready to go, this is the time of year when vegetables are plenty. They are everywhere. All the farmers' markets are filled with them. And we're going to do, in the last segment here, a little veggies on the barbie because, man, there's nothing better than getting fresh vegetables and throwing them on there.
So walk around the promenade.
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys. Welcome back, that is. Sorry about that. But we've been talking about refurbing, cleaning equipment, and let's get on the grill. Let's fire one up. This is the time of year when the veggies are plentiful. You know, the three little tomato plants that my wife put in a pot on our deck are like just raining tomatoes right now, have been for about two, three weeks.
Do you think this year is one of those years that has some like strange growth anomalies like last year did?
I don't know. I don't have a frame of reference.
Corn was like this tall 4th of July.
Right.
And it's 7 foot now. I mean, it's strange. I've got wild cherry trees on my property, and they produce cherries, but it's almost all seed and a little bit of red staining device around it.
Right, yeah.
It's like apocalyptic quantities. They're piling up the hickory nuts. They're piling up around the pool. Acorns are thick too. My neighbor said the same thing. We have deer between our houses. We live on the back end of 6 acres, and I can barely see his house in the winter, let alone can't see it in the summer. But the deer love going between us and up and down our drive, which is 900 foot long.
Right.
And they hang out in the driveway. They're eating acorns right now.
Right.
And they're gorging. So I'm telling you, I think we're headed for a winter, and I'm in bad shape on firewood. So I'm sounding the alarm. If you're a fire burner, wood stick burner, you start cutting, buddy, because we might have a surprise this winter.
All right. Well, let me reel this back in. We're going to do some vegetables on the grill.
Now we're shoveling snow.
All right, man. I don't know. but welcome to the grilling, guys. You know that's how we roll. But anyway, the vegetables. You know what? Tailgate season is here, too, and veggies always go good at a tailgate.
Yep.
But let's talk about what kind of vegetables you like to cook.
Well,
and
you said you produced a ton of tomatoes.
Right.
My son called me yesterday and said, hey, I want to can some jalapenos. We did a couple box gardens. They live in Easttown.
Yep.
And we have got more jalapenos than we could ever have imagined. It's the same story.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's this stuff producing. So jalapenos galore, that's a great thing to put on the grill. What do you do with them?
Well, there's a couple ways. It depends on who I'm feeding them to.
Yep.
Because if my guests are not real fond of spicy hot food, I will cut them in half, take out the seeds and the fiber, And then we usually make them into a bacon-wrapped jalapeno bowl.
What kind of fiber was that?
Yeah, I know, Bob. It's your favorite. I just I'm not going to touch on that.
Okay, so you're going to make boats out of them probably, so
yeah,
they're
right.
A little smaller.
Cut them in half lengthways. Yep. It's easier to get the guts out, and two, it creates a nice little cup where you can put in whatever
Absolutely.
You like.
It's a canoe.
Right.
It's a canoe. And here's one thing I would add is that it doesn't matter what you put inside.
Not really.
It doesn't.
Right.
You proved that to me. You put pineapple and cream cheese in it once, and I go, man, Jappy, you're like, that's like putting pineapple on a pizza. You don't do it.
Right.
It was
right.
good.
Yeah.
It was good. You can put shrimp in them. You can put shrimp in them.
Right. So, you know, because bacon is a staple at my house, when you wrap these things in bacon, it kind of holds the filling in them. It'll seal as it cooks, but always use thin-cut bacon, not thick, because it takes the thick too long to cook, and then the peppers get too soft and mealy in there. So I just
or if you do have thick, pre-bake it for 5 or 8 minutes at about 400 degrees and reduce it,
right?
And now you're halfway to the finish line.
Right. Then you can wrap it around there and finish it on the smoker. I enjoy them on the smoker just because I like getting a little bit of that smoky flavor. Depending on the kind of bacon, you may have it already.
Well, I think you like not having to babysit it too.
Right? Yeah, yeah. The pellet smoker, if I've got the typically what it is, if I'm doing pork butts or a pork loin or chicken or something on
big
the
green
smoker,
egg.
Yeah, put it on a big green egg. You can that big green egg is round, and you put bigger pieces of protein in the center, and you always got a lot of room around the edge, right? So I always cover that with the jalapenos, but. Keep in mind your temperature and your time. We started the show with this. Your temperature and your time matter because you don't want to get them too hot, too quick, and burn the bacon because then it gets burnt and bitter before the top gets done if you're in too hot of an area on your grill or smoker. So kind of do it on an offset spot, which works fine in my green egg because I've got what they call a plate setter, and that divides the fire from the grate. Where the protein's sitting, and I just make sure that the jalapenos aren't over the fire directly, that they're getting radiant heat rather than direct heat. So little tip there, but because the bacon will burn on the bottom if you're putting them on over direct heat, so I always cook those either on a smoker or indirect on the grill.
Nice. And, you know, when you say time and temperature, they affect each other directly, proportionately directly.
Okay, that's a scientific equation right there.
Well, it's not maybe structured properly, but they have direct impact on each other because 5 degrees of temperature shortens up your time, you know, a minute or whatever.
Right.
So they're directly proportionate.
Right, right. Related. Certainly related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and more of just, one equals less of the other generally.
And you can get it under your belt after a while, you know, just by doing it enough, just like anything, right?
Right. But, you know, even cooking, we're doing vegetables, but even cooking a pork butt, I've done hundreds of those. You've done thousands of them. I know. I have a temperature probe in that every time I cook. I don't go by feel. I don't go by look. You got some telltale signs if it's got a bone in it and the bone starts to
You're serving a bunch of people, though. You want to make sure you show up. And,
right. And it's juicy and it pulls right.
That's where the thermopen is such a jewel.
Yeah.
You don't have to have probes and everything all the time you're smoking.
Right.
You can just get a thermopen, go to thegrillingguys.com, look on the right side for ThermoWorks, click on the link, get their latest special. We make $5. You get the best thermometer in the world. Made
right.
in America, okay?
Right.
So put that baby in your piece of meat. It gives you time and it gives you temperature in under a minute, under a second now. It used to be 3 seconds. Now it's like 0.96 seconds. It's just, boom, there's your temperature.
Right.
It lights up. The screen rotates. It's the best thing you could have in your hand other than a cold one.
Right. And, well, you know what? I think you can operate that thermometer with one hand. So you might have a cold one in your hand while you're doing it. But let's get back to the vegetables, squash, zucchini. They're like prolific in gardens, right? You don't grow one, you grow 100.
That's right.
And so I'm thinking that what do you like to do with a zucchini?
I'll do the zucchini really quick, but I want to do a tomato. So the zucchini are quick and easy because you can cut them into long spears like your pickle spears.
Right.
And then throw them in a bag, put some cheap, zesty Italian in there, put them on the counter for 2 hours max.
Okay.
Throw them on the grill, skin side down at first, get them nice and hot, and then start turning them so that each side of the cut face gets char marks on it.
Yep.
And just get it to a certain level so that it stays kind of crunchy,
yeah,
but it's warm and a little cooked.
Yep.
Don't overcook it, and squash will never turn anyone off. But if you overcook it, it's the mush your mom made you eat when you were little.
Right.
And now I'm having exactly. flashbacks.
And you want it to be, just, it's the texture on that one.
Yeah.
Is that you want it to be a little bit crunchy like a pickle spear. Yeah. That's perfect. Great description.
So you said you have a bunch of tomatoes, Jop. You're an entertainer.
Yep.
And I've been on your deck a bunch of times, and you jump. If you get a chance to party on Jop's back deck, you'll notice one thing. He was waiting at the gate for you to get there. This guy has prepared like a feast for you, and you're going to be honored and thrilled to have all this stuff laid at your feet. I learned that the first time I took him to deer camp, and I'll just leave it at that.
might have been the bar I brought with me, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
So here's something. If you have too many tomatoes, and anybody growing tomatoes this year is going to have a whole bunch of tomatoes because they're prolific.
Yeah,
Big
year for that.
So what we used to do in these barbecue classes, I worked with a chef in Chicago, and this was his trick. He would cut a tomato in half, and you can do it in half any way you want, but I would tend to hold the stem up and cut it in half sideways so that at least one of your halves had that flat stem side on it. It'll sit on the grill better. The other side's going to be a juggling act because they're kind of pointy on the bottom end, and right. they want to roll around on your grate. So you set them halves on your smoker, and then you get crumpled blue cheese, and you pile it up on top of that tomato, and you smoke it at about 300 with a lot of smoke and kind of a lot of heat, 3 1/4 to where you're almost out of the barbecue range. And you give it about 45 minutes. And that's the first appetizer you pull off before you're going to plate your meal. Mm-hmm. Because when you bring those tomatoes out on a little plate with a little fork and knife, and you put it in front of your guest, and they have this weird-looking tomato with some smoky cheese on top, they're going to be like, what the heck is this? You cut into that, baby, and a little smoked blue cheese, my mouth's watering, smoked blue cheese with a nice tomato. And, you know, maybe you don't grow tomatoes, but guess what? There's roadside stands everywhere.
Right.
And that's where you want to get them because they have the good tomatoes, not factory tomatoes.
Factory tomatoes, yeah. Well, we don't have any factory tomatoes in my house either. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard. There's tons of time to grill. And create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.